It actually tells me that you're scanning your face. That's kind of cool. Getting a new scan? I bet it works better with a lot of light. I didn't have a lot of light when I scanned mine the first time. I may have to redo it.
Are you recording?
Yes, you are. Okay, cool. Okay, cool. Yep, we're good.
Okay. Shall we play a game?
All right, Sam. We're live on Xbox Live in a special Texas Hold'em lobby recording the Gamers Roundtable, part of XBL Radio. Thank you, everyone, for downloading this podcast. Thank you for joining us. We have four very cool guests. We're going to meet them in less than a minute. The recording date for this podcast was December 7th, 2006. I am Rusty Ranchero, and of course, I got with me Steve519. What's up, man?
Yo, yo. What's up, dude?
How's your, I noticed you started your daily video minutes.
It's time consuming.
I see. That's pretty cool, man. I like your last one with the beer can.
Dude, it was fun. That other guy told me to, so I told him I would. He didn't think I would do it.
Right on. And we'll certainly talk more about that after the show. Also, we have with us, Greejay.
What's going on, Rusty Evan Chetisky?
Hey, thanks for hopping on that Rainbow Six interview with me.
Hey, no problem, man. That was a great interview. Can't wait for the listeners to get a hold of it.
I totally agree, and we'll let them know how they can get a hold of it at the end of the show. They're going to hear it at the end of the show, too.
Oh, you're going to give them a sneak preview?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
All right, then. It's time to meet the guests from Fremont, California. He is 27 years old. His gamer tag is Noisy Tribe. Welcome to Live on Live.
Thanks for having me, everybody. Thanks, Rusty, Steve, Greejay. How's it going?
Going awesome, dude.
My pleasure to have you on.
Noisy Tribe, what have you been playing as of lately?
Right now I'm playing Rainbow Six, Gears of War, Zelda on the Wii, and I'm trying to determine if I want to open my PS3. Haven't opened it yet.
You haven't put it on eBay yet? What's your problem, dude?
Well, I've seen what it's capable of. I've been playing it at my friend's house, but just haven't really found the need to actually play it on my own system. And I wanted to determine if I just wanted to sell it or keep it. So right now, there's not any games that I really want to play on it.
You better hurry up and decide, though. eBay prices are dropping pretty quick on those PS3s.
At this point in time, the best bet is to keep a hold of the system. I mean, eventually there will be good games for it, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm thinking at least, within, hopefully soon there'll be something good to be playing on it. I'm hoping for, I wanted to try Full Auto 2 because that looks pretty cool. Other than that, I'm just pretty much stuck on playing 360 right now. A lot of Rainbow Six.
From what I'm hearing, the Wii version of Zelda is very addictive. Are you finding yourself having a hard time pulling yourself away from it?
Right now I think I'm about 25 hours in, and that's about, I think, 4 dungeons total. I've been trying to pull myself away from it, but it was actually, I lent my Wii to one of my friends, so it gave me some time to actually go back and pick up Rainbow Six. So that was a night I needed a break that I needed from Zelda. And I've actually been playing a lot of Marvel Ultimate Alliance now that I think of it as well. I'm actually liking that game a lot.
Very cool. Okay, Noisy Tribe, we appreciate you for joining us.
Thank you.
Next guest from Charlottesville, Virginia. He is also 27 years old, and this is his second appearance on Live on Live. Welcome, Xbox E-Boy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Glad to be back.
Yes, indeed. We're happy to have you back.
I've been playing pretty much just Gears of War, although it sucks because I was able to borrow a nice HD TV from work for a while. And then I had to give it back, so I've been taking home my 19-inch monitor to play on every night, and it sucks. So I've been playing as much recently.
Ouch.
Gotcha. I heard that your 360 recently bit the dust.
Yeah, I went through a period of time where I was extremely frustrated with the 360. I went out and rented 2 games, and it was a launch console. But the day I rented the games, I spent like, $15 or whatever. The 360 died with the game in it, and I couldn't eject the game.
Oh,
so I called Microsoft, and they couldn't get it to eject, and they were unwilling to pay for my rental because it was going to be gone for the 2 weeks it was going to be repaired. And they couldn't guarantee that my hard drive would keep all the game saved, so I was extremely frustrated. But long story short, I got it back about 2 weeks later. Fortunately, although Microsoft wasn't willing to pay for the game to be returned late, Hollywood Video or whatever store I rented it from was willing to forgive it because I showed them my receipt for getting it repaired. And they were able, and Microsoft was able to save all my game saves, so it turned out to be okay.
You know that if you would have kicked up a dust bus, you could have got a couple free video games. You know, my Xbox went into repair twice, and the second time it went into repair, I threw a big stink, and I got Cameo, Project Gotham Racing 3, and a memory card unit sent to me for free.
Wow. Well, that's about it, though. I love Gears of War, so I just keep playing that. And then I hope to get Viva Pinata for Christmas, so I've heard that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking at your icon. You're using it right now.
I know. I've heard so much hype about this game, and then it basically never stops. I'm just so looking forward to it.
That's cool. All right, Xbox E-Boy, welcome back.
Thanks a lot.
Next, from Los Angeles, California, he is 20 years old, and his gamer tag is KillerGnome323. Welcome to Live on Life.
Thanks, Rusty. Thanks for having me, guys. I've been wanting to get on the show for a while.
Cool. I told you I'd get you on the next show, dude.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Steve. Yeah, I've just been playing a lot of Gears of War. I got Rainbow Six Vegas and Gears of War. I thought I'd be playing Rainbow Six Vegas a lot more than Gears of War, but actually the other way around right now. Also, Half-Life 2, which is a really, really good game. I recommend it to anybody. I got it for like $4 at Circuit City. And
wow.
It's one of the best single-player games I've played.
It's a pretty cool. Nice bundle coming out for the 360. Half-Life 2.
Yeah, because like I never was really into Half-Life 2, but you know it was like $4, so I was like whatever, you know, I'll just pick it up, and it's like one of the best games I ever played.
He said he was gaming. He said he's glad to be here. Says about everything else, dude. He's good to go. Are you good to go, Killer Gnome?
Oh yeah.
He's good to go, dude.
Nice.
Rusty, who is our next guest?
Right on. Thank you, Killer.
No problem.
Hold on. Hey, is it Gnome or Genome?
Gnome.
No, it's Gnome.
Gnome.
Like that little guy in my gamer tag. In my gamer picture.
He's a gangster.
Yeah.
He's a gangster.
He's a Genome.
Killer Genome.
Right. Thank you, Killer Genome, for making it.
No, Killer Gnome. Killer Gnome.
Okay. Rusty, we need to sign you up for grammar classes. Now, we sign up too. I just need to stop drinking while I'm doing shows. But
yeah.
Rusty, we need to sign you up for grammar classes. With,
Rusty goes
Carpal,
to AA.
It's like Carpal with his Colbert's report.
Colbert.
He's like the Colbert's report.
So Steve needs to go to AA, and Rusty needs to go to grammar class.
And Carpool needs to go to the class and learn how to spell at the same time. We have a lot of learning to do here on this show.
Yes, indeed. All right. Finally, last but not least, he is from British Columbia, Canada. He is 15 years old, and his gamer tag is Pillsbury847. Welcome to Live on Live.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome, Pillsbury.
How'd you come up with that name?
Interesting story. Grade 6, I believe it was, I got in an altercation with someone, I can't remember. So we decided to fight it out in the schoolyard, and punched me in the gut, fell over, and when I was lying on the ground, I went, hoo-hoo. No, my name was Pillsbury.
Oh, man.
But when I went to get the email address, pillsburyyahoo.ca, and it was taken. So, at the bottom of the randomization list was Pillsbury847, and I've used that ever since.
Can you do the
nice
for us? I'm going to stick out my finger at your belly. Hold on to it.
Hoo-hoo. I can't do it anymore, man.
Well, Pillsbury, what game are you currently playing?
I'm playing Gears of War, and for some reason, I cannot stop playing the Tony Hawk's Project 8 demo. I probably play it more than ever any other game that I have. I've been meaning to pick up Rainbow Six Vegas. That looks awesome. The demo is addicting, and yeah.
Okay, that multiplayer demo does not do that game justice, just to get the word out. That multiplayer demo was total crap, I thought.
I've heard.
Yeah, the graphics are really downgraded in the demo.
Really? Because I thought they were pretty good looking.
In the multiplayer demo, I played the multiplayer demo, and I went from, I'm going to have this game on opening day to I don't even want it anymore when I played that multiplayer demo.
Me too.
And then I got the game, and now I'm glad I got it because it's not like that demo.
Nice. That's a great game.
Interesting.
Well, thank you, all our guests, for showing up. Steve, why don't you hit them with the first topic of the evening?
All right, our first topic of the evening is, as you all know, there was that new Halo 3 teaser that came out Monday Night Football, came out this Monday. And a lot of talk has been going on, which is better, the Halo 3 teaser, remind you, or the Gears of War trailer. Let's start with Noisy Tribe. What do you think, dude? What are you thinking on that?
For me, I really preferred the Halo 3 trailer. I think that actually kind of hit me a little bit more than the Gears of War one. Just for the fact, I guess, because I've been a Halo 2 fan ever since that was pretty much the first game I got with my Xbox. So that's kind of my only opinion that I really have on it. Other than that, I think the trailer for Halo 3 was pretty dang awesome. It just showed me that I can't wait to finish the storyline for that. Hopefully it ends there, because I really don't know if I can deal with so much more Halo after that.
So you're a hardcore fan, you say? I can come up with the idea that you watched that trailer pretty good, right? You paid really close attention to that trailer. Did you see when he put the gun, the rifle, on his back, and the dirt that fell off that rifle? Dude, that was awesome to me. If they put that much detail into the actual game, oh my god.
Yeah, but I heard they said it's all CG. It's not going to represent any.
I heard half of that trailer was CG.
Half of the trailer is actually live action. The other half is CG. It's
what
comic
book part is live action though?
The beginning when
with those two kids.
Dude, when John, CG, man. Actually, those two kids. Do you guys read the books at all?
Oh yes, I've read them enough times to read them off my mind.
Okay, if you read the books. Yeah. That's actually Master Chief, that's actually John, and another Spartan by the name of Linda, who are best friends. And I believe that that's them two lying in the field when they were young during their training.
Well, if you really think it through, that makes sense, because as Master Chief is lying there, if you look at the next scene, it would make sense that he got knocked out of his Warthog, he got blown up, he was knocked out, and then he's having a flashback to his day's training as a Spartan.
Yeah. If you guys actually look at it, there was a Halo 3 trailer, and then there was the E3 one, and then this one sort of starts off where Master Chief was. You remember when he jumps off? You remember that cliff he was on? That's like, it looks like the same exact cliff that was on the E3 trailer, the one he jumps off of.
The E3 trailer was much taller. My only hope for the game is that they make the run animation look like it did in the trailer, because after the shield goes down, he is just booking it. He is putting everything into that. It really reminds me of the books, how he's, it's just more realistic and that sort of thing. I think the trailer was almost just sort of the first realistic view of the Covenant War. Whereas the other ones, there's grunts, you shoot them. Whereas that, it looks like a real battlefield. There's crap all over the ground, it's really nice.
Hey, Steve, is the question, what's better, the Halo 3 teaser and commercial, or Gears of War and Halo 3?
That's what you said. The teaser versus the trailer.
The two trailers that went on Xbox Live.
Because I actually, it's funny you asked that, because I actually posted the exact same question on the Xbox forums about 2 days ago. And I got a ton of responses on it. If anybody goes to the Xbox forums, go to the Halo 3 thread, and it's probably still there.
Why don't you choose
Team
Xbox?
I actually chose the teaser and I put five reasons. One reason is, of course, the music. You can't beat the Halo score that was not in the commercial. Another reason is the reveal of Master Chief in the teaser was a better reveal than in the commercial, where it's almost, in the commercial, you are Master Chief, and in the teaser, you see him come out of that dust or whatever, and that's a great reveal. Another reason was I like the Cortana voiceover narration versus the kids' voiceover narration, especially like, you know, I am your shield, I am your blah, 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 you know, that's awesome. And
another...
I can't remember. Oh, right. Yeah, the other reason was just that, you know, that was real-time versus CGI, and, you know, it's much more important to see what the game's going to really look like than what it might look like as a movie or whatever for a gamer. They want to see what it looks like as a
game. Well, we were talking, because recently, you know, the Gears of War trailer just came out. We're talking not Halo 3 trailer versus Halo 3 teaser. We're talking that Monday Night Football teaser that Halo 3 put out versus the Gears of War trailer that was put out a month ago.
Okay, so I
that's what we're going off of.
The thing for me, though, Steve, is if you look at the two trailers and you combine it and you look at them side by side, I think, for me, they are equally just as important and equally as beautiful for two different reasons. With the Gears of War trailer, as I said before, it basically took the essence of the game, and now that we've all played it, it kind of fed the storyline, whatever little storyline there was, and sent a dramatization, and it fed the angst of the civilians and the soldiers of the game and showed what they were going through. As opposed to the Halo 3 teaser, I don't necessarily think it's a teaser for the Halo 3 game, if you want my honest opinion, because it's a mix of CGI and a mix of live action. I honestly think that, in the Bungie's comment that they made, they said this is not a trailer for Halo 3, it's almost a reintroduction of the franchise to the general public. When I looked at it from a video editor's perspective and from the cinematic perspective, I look at them saying, for you movie distributors that turned down the Halo 3 movie with CG and live mixture, this is how kick-ass it'll look, and when somebody does pick it up and we make millions and millions of dollars off the Halo movie, you're going to be eating your shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, think of it. Go this way. If you can only get one game, and you saw that Gears of War trailer, and you saw that Halo 3 teaser, which would it be?
This is the thing, Steve. That's like saying, are you now gonna buy Killzone 2 because of the Killzone 2 trailer?
I'm just saying though. But that's the point. Off of these two trailers, which one would make you want the game more?
I think everybody here is forgetting the fact that these trailers were made for the average, you know, audience just watching football and stuff, not knowing what CGI was, knowing what's real time, not even knowing Master Chief from, you know, Marcus Fenix. And I think from the average, like, person watching a commercial, this is my honest opinion, that the one that captures your attention more is the Gears of War one.
Exactly.
And that is because it's got action right from the get-go. It's got a song that everybody will recognize from somewhere. And that was actually backed up by the fact that this song for the Gears of War trailer became an iTunes top download like the next month later.
I believe it's
still in the top 10. I think that
demonstrates that if you're not a gamer and you don't know to look for the next Halo movie or game or whatever, that the average person who sees these trailers is reacting more to the Gears of War one.
Well, I think that the mixture of treats they gave us in the new Halo 3 trailer was it's to introduce it to the general audience, because Master Chief, whether we like it or not, Master Chief is now a recognizable figure just as Mario is.
Okay,
maybe not as much, but just as is. So the average person is going to see it and be like, oh my goodness, is that how the next Halo 3 is going to look? But then those of us that are diehard Halo 3 fans aren't even necessarily looking at the graphics. We're going, oh my God, there's a shield grenade. Oh my God, Master Chief is running balls out. You know, oh my God, there's Master Chief and Linda. Does that mean Linda is going to be a playable character in Halo 3?
Yeah.
So I think it gives both hardcore gamers and the casual gamer good treats.
Yeah.
Rusty, what's your thought on this, dude? You're Halo 3.
You're the Halo man.
I'm a Halo fan, and I thought the Halo 3 trailer was spectacular. It was fabulous. It was wonderful. It, like I wrote on the forums, man, it plays with your emotions a lot, and it leaves you with this just intense feeling of excitement when it's all over that just makes me cannot wait to pick up that game when it comes out. So the Gears of War trailer was lovely. It was beautiful. I've watched it many, many times. I enjoy the song, but I'm going to have to go with the Halo trailer.
Do you think, though, Rusty, Rusty, is that fed by the fact that you're already a diehard Halo fan and that storyline and the characters are already established in your heart?
It could be, but I'm going to answer with no, because that the excitement that it left me with is not because it was Halo, but just the whole scene that played out and the action and his attitude, the cliffhanger, it was all...
That is why I actually agree with Rusty. That Gears of War trailer is beautiful and everything else. I watched it, I'm like, dude, that's so awesome. But when I watched that Halo 3 teaser, I was like, oh my god, dude.
There's one thing I'd like to add. In the Gears of War trailer, everything that's in there, there's nothing really revealed. Like, okay, yeah, there's Locust. Okay, he's running. We know humanity's been destroyed. Whereas in the Halo 3 teaser, it's, oh my god, look at those brute pistols. That is so awesome. What the heck?
These both of these trailers are on this exact same structure in terms of there's a major character who's introduced in a running situation, and it ends at this climax of him facing this confrontation. And in the Halo 3, he's facing, like, I don't know how many people you can see on screen, but say it's like a dozen, you know, brutes or whatever. But in the Gears of War, he's facing this giant beast, and his bullets are just flying off of this thing. And you see, you don't know how in the world Marcus Fenix is going to survive this, like, spider-like creature. And I think that actually builds more anticipation in that climax than the Halo 3 one.
But they're both different scenarios. Like, the music for the Gears of War, it just leaves you with, like a... I don't know, it's a different type of feeling. Like, you know, the Halo 3 one, you get all into it, you're like, damn, you know, like, I can't wait to play Halo. The Gears of War one is like, damn, I wonder how that game is. It's like, it's different than the Halo one.
But what I'm seeing is, do you think that our love for the Halo, because I'll tell you what, I do love the Halo trailer more than I like the Gears of War trailer, but only for the simple fact that I've read the books, I follow the storyline, and the little tidbits that are offered to me give me more excited about the possibilities of where Halo 3 is going to conclude at and what they're going to bring.
I'm the same way. I'm going to admit, I am extremely biased when it comes to that. I am a huge Halo fan.
I think everybody who has an Xbox is just biased towards Halo, dude. I mean, Halo was like the reason everyone bought an Xbox 360. You know?
I think that's why I'm different then, because I didn't own an original Xbox. This is my first console. And so, yeah, I appreciate the Halo. I bought the Halo games to play it because I heard so much about it. But I don't have that history that you guys have. I have that almost unbiased perspective of kind of two new games.
That's what I'm saying, Xboxy boy. So let's do this, guys. Let's give our opinions, but let's take away the fact that we are enticed by the clues that were given away from the Halo 3 trailer, and let's just go straight from the rip of if you were just an average Joe watching it.
That's very hard to do. Very, very hard to do.
I think if I was an average Joe that wasn't really affluent in the sort of gaming community and knows stuff about video games, that sort of thing, I think I would be more excited by the Halo 3 trailer if I was, say, you know, an action movie fan. It's like, oh man, how the hell is he going to kick the shit out of, like, those monkey guys, and how is he, like, going to, there's, like, three tanks there, what's going to happen with that? I do agree with what you said about how he's facing the huge spider guy, but if you had played Halo 2, I think you would have known that, a brute with a gravity hammer, 9 brutes, and then like 4 wraith tanks, or however many. That's a pretty steep task.
But that's based on your knowledge of playing Halo 2. You've got to drop that knowledge right there.
That's true.
Would you look at the Halo 3 trailer and be like, oh my god, is this Rusty Ranchero? First I'm thinking about 2 small children, and then now I'm in the thick of battle?
Mm-hmm.
I think we should move on to the next topic. I think we're all in agreement that overall, we can't wait for Halo 3, and it's going to rule our lives.
That's the main point.
Right on. Moving on. Topic number 2
is Rainbow Six just came out. It had this cool little feature called face mapping. This is pretty much for those of you that have it, and those of you that don't have the game can answer this as well. But really, did this really improve on the game itself? A little feature, really simple feature, just maps your face and puts your face on your character. What do you think about this, and kind of do you feel it should be in newer games coming out as well? Let's start with
Killer
E-Boy, Xbox E-Boy.
Okay.
Do you have Vegas?
I don't have Vegas, but I've seen, you know, the face mapping. Major Nelson even posted, you know, his face.
So did Rusty B. Rantero.
Okay. So I've seen some illustrations of that. But I've been pretty frugal with my money in regards to accessories for Xbox, because I'm a little worried, since this is my first Xbox, that spending $40 on a camera, $70 on a wireless headset, $200 on a HD DVD drive add-on, that these aren't going to be compatible with the next Xbox 5 years down the line. And so I've actually been saving my money to get just a nicer HD TV, something I can use, you know, 15 years from now. So I haven't, you know, bought it just simply because, you know, money. But it still looks cool. I think that people who can afford it and that are interested, I think it's a great feature to have in a game.
Yep. I face mapped by myself. I did my dad, my uncle, my little brothers. I tried to do my dog. It didn't work. it's fun, man. It's fun. But, I mean, it doesn't really change the game. You know, in the end, it's just another feature, which is a really cool feature. You know, I wish every game has you know, something where, like, you know, integrates the camera with it. But, yeah, I mean, it's fun, dude. It's fun. I mean, I haven't really, like, you don't sit there when you're playing, look at his face or whatever, you know, like, it just another thing. It's just like customizing, you know, your armor or whatever.
Yeah, I think it is a neat little feature that you can have. However, I'm not sure how rampant this has been, as I don't have it, but I think it would be sort of funny to see how many people in the underground gamer zone have parts on their face, let's just say, that aren't exactly pertaining to face mapping. But I think the most interesting thing would be to see what part would move when you talk, because your character actually moves his mouth when you talk, so that would be
is it really?
That is another cool feature. When you're talking in the game on multiplayer, you see your character's guy's mouth moving.
But not if you face map, though.
No, if you face map.
Which sucks.
No,
it doesn't.
I was looking at Rusty and his mouth was moving.
Really? Are you serious? I tried it. It didn't work on me.
But yeah, I think the face mapping feature is not so much great for me, but I think it's great for my friends, because it immerses you into the game even more. Because I was playing the other day with Rusty and Steve, and it was cool that I could look to my left and see Rusty, you know, peering around the corner, and look to my right and see Steve. So I think it more adds to the friends that you play with as opposed to just yourself.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to recognize your friends when you're playing it. However, I just don't think it's really a feature that's needed, but it'd be nice to have it in future games from here on out.
Actually, if you want to get an achievement, it is needed.
That's just a way to ring you in to buy it. But I do think one thing that the Xbox is absolutely necessary for, I think I just saw this on Kotaku tonight. It was somebody took a picture of Michael Jackson and put him in the game.
Oh, my God.
I am not even kidding. It looks so realistic. It's absolutely hilarious.
That's scary.
That is scary. That is scary.
If we could get just every single person.
He's asking for everybody's age.
There's a website I saw a couple days ago before he was on Kotaku. They actually had front scans and side scans of a bunch of celebrities, and you can put whatever celebrity you want.
Yeah, I seen George Bush.
Wow.
I'm gonna flank the enemy. Cover my rear.
I played a dude with a gamer tag tonight. His name is Jacko Wacko.
That gives a new definition to celebrity deathmatch.
Actually, the best celebrity face mask that I saw was Christopher Walken. It was so
nice.
Wait, Gumo.
I got a question for you guys. How much, like, Weejay, who you've seen, Steve, or Rusty, how much does it look like them, like, on a scale of 1 out of 10 or whatever?
Rusty's like a 9, dude.
Rusty's like a 9.
I know who it is. I mean, mine's like a 7. Rusty's looks like a 9, though.
If you go to the website, Rusty even posted a picture of his face mask character and a picture of himself.
I'm going to go right now. I'm checking it right now.
Does my character look like myself?
Oh, yeah, guys, you got to see Guijay's face mask.
Actually, yeah,
you
got to
tell
us
about it. Yours is kind of special, celebrity-ish, too.
Looks exactly like you, man.
Do you know those little swimmer things that come, like, you can get at Toys R Us you get for little kids where it's like a character themed where it comes with like the goggles and the flippers and little hands. I took my son's little Spider-Man goggles and I put them on and face met myself. So it's like this weird Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's another thing. Does it matter? If you have glasses on, does it map that?
Major Nelson did a face map with sunglasses on.
Yeah.
His work.
All right. Holy crap, it looks just like you, Rusty. That is crazy.
I told you, Rusty's is a 9. Rusty's is almost dead on.
Yeah.
It'd be Rusty's interesting to see if somebody could get a Master Chief one going.
Oh, you know, that'd be sweet.
I think
be sick.
The hardest thing about the face mapping is with the Xbox Live Vision camera, getting the lighting correct in your room.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
hard
yeah.
to tell, to get the lighting right.
Yeah, the first time I did it, my hair was green.
the lighting and the skin tone was hard. It really was.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's get on to the next topic. We were just talking about, you know, accessories. Let's talk about the Mad Cat arcade joystick that's coming out pretty soon, actually, sometime this month. I'm curious who's going to buy one. I believe, what are they retailing for? $49?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. $49 American.
Yeah, so is anyone going to rush out and buy one?
Hell no. Hell no.
No, I've had bad experience with Mad Cats, so I'm not looking to like it. It looks pretty, I'm going to be honest, it looks pretty cheap. Like the arcade stick, it doesn't look like it has that really good, you know, resistance and feedback and that sort of thing. It looks like just a stick on top of a thumbstick.
Spray painted the Atari controller.
Here's some sticks we put together.
Plus, I mean, the only reason to buy it at this point, because there's not too many good fighting games, per se, for, like, 360, except for the arcade games. And those are all retro stuff that you can get on other systems, so I'm not going to spend $40 for a $5 game.
I think the best thing to do would be to buy the Dead or Alive 4 arcade stick, because apparently it's got, like, you know, the really nice arcade one and all the buttons. So if you're really looking for one to play Pac-Man with or something like that, I'd just go buy that.
What Pillsbury says is so dead on. Because I'll tell you what, that Dead or Alive arcade stick actually looks sexy. Like, I would like to own that thing. The Mad Cats arcade stick looks like a freaking ripoff. It looks like they just bought, like, 1,000 old Atari joysticks and spray painted them white.
Yeah, probably.
If I had to buy one, like, accessory controller, I'd buy the wireless steering wheel, the Force Gate.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
looks $125?
I'm not a racing game fan at all, but I'm getting that in hopes that I will
Same
become
here.
One, because I cannot steer with a thumbstick. It is physically impossible.
With Forza 2?
Yeah, I gotta get that for Forza 2. I wanna try with Test Drive as well.
I never played Forza 1, but Forza 2, I've heard a lot of good things about Forza 1, so I never really played racing games, but yeah, I want to play with Forza 2.
Although it sounds nice to me, it sounds like the same thing. I mean, how many people have their steel battalion controllers shoved in their closets?
Exactly.
Rusty has that old mech game for the original Xbox controller, right?
Well, while we're on the subject of accessories, anybody here pick up the HD DVD?
I have no doubt that I will eventually, but right now it's not a priority for me.
What movie's worth $200 is what I'm thinking.
It comes with King Kong.
That's not worth $200.
If you guys go to the AVS forums, there's a thread on there that ranks all the HD DVD movies that are out right now and what are the best ones. And King Kong is actually one of the best ones right now.
I think once the X Video Marketplace comes to Canada, there is no way that I will be buying an HD DVD drive. Because if I can spend, you know, $7 on a rental for that many days, and if I want to rent it again, I'm still saving a huge cost.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, dude.
On buying the movie and the HD DVD drive.
Yeah.
And apparently the image from the downloaded movies to that, they did a comparison of it, and the only thing was the blacks were a little tiny, tiny bit off. And to be honest, I don't really care. I'll take the $200 in my pocket will come for me.
Do you think Microsoft shot themselves in the foot then by putting the Video Marketplace out?
No.
No, I think there'll still be enough tech geeks that'll go there and have to buy that because they've already got a 360. And
I think Microsoft was smart by putting that video download thing out because in another 5 years, that video download thing is going to be far surpassed in, I think, HD DVD sales for the 360 and everything else.
And I think it's the best thing that they could possibly do. Like, look at just Xbox Live in general for an example. As far as online console play, they beat everybody else to the market, and they have an excellent service, which Sony will take forever to catch up to. And it's the same thing with digital distribution. There's going to be a huge amount of companies doing it, in the next 10, 20 years. And by starting out early, Microsoft's going to figure out all the kinks and all that sort of stuff early.
Well, I don't
what in the world is taking the Microsoft so long to announce a larger hard drive? I mean, that's almost needed at this point.
Did you hear the craziness about, I can't remember, it was some representative of Microsoft, and he said, if you want a bigger hard drive, there's not really a big enough demand for it right now, which of course is outrageous. He said, buy a memory unit and another hard drive. Keep your Xbox Live profile on your memory unit.
This is your dumbass comment.
Well, I keep my profile on a memory unit so I can bring it with me if I go to my brother's house or if I go somewhere else. But you know what? They need to come out with a bigger hard drive. How long have we been saying that? XBL Radio has been saying that they need to come out with a bigger hard drive. That's a joke. That freaking 20 gigabyte hard drive.
It's not even
nowadays,
20 gig, though. It's not even 20 gig.
I know. You have a 11
like
allotable.
11.
Gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. So minus you 13. Can't even buy, like, the cheapest laptop you can buy comes with at least a 40, 50 gigabyte hard drive, dude. You can buy a Walmart $100 laptop with a bigger hard drive than you get with your 360. That's a joke.
But to get back in the whole HD DVD drive, my whole thing is that, me and Steve talked about the digital distribution, and we're all in agreement that that's where it's going. But after reevaluating and looking at everything, I do think that there will be one more format wars, I think, just because of the way that broadband distribution. There's still broadband.
It'll be the next 5 years. You have Blu-ray and HD DVD going at it while digital distribution still working its kinks out. But once it's done and once it's finalized and standards are met, Blu-ray and HD DVD they won't matter at all.
I think if you love movies, Blu-ray or HD DVD is a viable purchase. I probably will buy an HD DVD drive because I do love movies. I
still don't want to spend $30 now on a DVD that I already own.
Yeah.
$30 is what HD DVD and a Blu-ray movie cost.
Right, but what I'll do is the fact is I could still play my old DVDs on my HD DVD drive. So movies that are just coming out, if I have the option, I'd rather purchase it in high definition.
You see, what they should do, man, was somebody should come out with like, okay, you got the Xbox 360 for games. There should be something like a new thing just for movies. Like a download Blockbuster for movies. Have like your own like TiVo,
Netflix. I think Netflix is working on something right now like that.
That's going to be the best thing.
Netflix,
dude.
You can rent your movies through a
online
Netflix standalone box.
Very cool. Moving on.
All right, gamers. Next topic is Blue Dragon, the highly anticipated RPG by Mistbreaker, just came out today in Japan. What are your thoughts and opinions on it?
My opinions on it, I haven't really seen enough to know about it, other than it's probably going to be one of the things that, not a whole lot of people in Japan are going to buy it with 360, but there will be the people that get it, and then their friends will come see it and be like, wow, that's a really cool RPG. I mean, it's made by the guy that, art directed by the guy that did Dragon Ball Z, and of course, that's enormous in Japan, so I think that's really adding to its rep. And I think it's sort of one of those break-in games for Japan.
Famitsu gave it, I think it was a 37 out of 40, which is a really high score for the most respected Japanese video game magazine.
I'm glad for Peter Moore, because the whole reason he was hired was to bring, Xbox to Japan. And ever since Dead or Alive was delayed at launch, he got screwed. And he was, spending weekend after weekend in Japan trying to push the Xbox, and it failed in launch numbers even compared to the original Xbox. But I'm glad it's picking up now.
Yeah, man, like, Blue Dragon's not really meant for American gamers. It's more like, just trying to capture the Japanese gamers who like the,
turn-based RPG?
I don't know anybody in any of my friends who like those type of games. I mean, I would never even touch those games. They're just too slow and, you know, so, I mean, I really don't really care at all.
I have to completely 100% disagree with you, and it's going to lead up to my second topic is we're all talking about how important Blue Dragon is for Japan, but how important is it for the United States when it comes out? Because as of now, the only last frontier that a Sony fanboy has against the Xbox users is that Xbox does not have any viable turn-based RPGs or RPGs in general. You know,
you can say, "Oh, well, you guys don't have turn-based RPGs." I don't think a majority of us really want turn-based RPGs. I mean, look at Enchanted Arms.
Let's not talk about Enchanted Arms. If it wasn't for Final Fantasy VII, the original PlayStation would have never gained the popularity that it did. And that's the honest truth. You had average gamers that would never even have thought of playing an RPG go out and purchase Final Fantasy VII. I think RPGs are a very important part of gaining a market share lead for the Xbox 360.
Yeah. No. In America, what the term is console sales are first-person shooters, you know, racing games. The percentage of people that buy consoles for RPGs is minimal.
How come underneath Zelda and Gears of War, the number 3 selling game was the brand new Final Fantasy that came out for the PS2?
Maybe a lot of Japanese people bought it.
This is American sales.
Well, if you look at the user base of the PS2, that really doesn't say anything, because they've got like 10 million installed units, and they've sold 8, I just was looking at it, and it's 890,000 units. That's not a lot for a console. 1/8 of the players bought that. Look at the attach rate for Gears of War.
This isn't America we're talking about, right?
Right. And we're also talking about a game that was sold in the same month that the Wii was released, that the PS3 was released, and that Gears of War was released.
Well, I mean,
we're talking about a console that's a generation behind everything else, still selling as the number three title.
Right, because those people that own that PS2 can't get a hold of the Wii's games or the 360's games, so they're buying the only thing they can, which is,
exactly.
And another point is, you know, the way how role-playing games are going in America is not turn-based. They're going online, like World of Warcraft. So I just don't think the market's there for turn-based RPGs in America. Not enough to sell consoles, anyway.
I will say, though, that Oblivion is absolutely amazing. I mean,
Oblivion is amazing.
I don't know if you guys played it, if you really invested the time in it, but it's one of those games where I looked at that and I said, that is next-gen. When you have 32 miles of square land.
I played it, I bought it, and I don't know, because, like, all the hype and everything, and I guess I'm not into those type of games. I don't know, like...
Same here. I'm raising my hand.
Yeah. I couldn't finish that one.
Oh, man.
How about you, Rusty Ranchersky? Why don't you give us your input?
RPGs, just me personally, I don't have an interest like I used to. But in the end, I think you're right. It is great. I think there are a lot of fans out there who do appreciate an RPG. And when they look at the Xbox 360 as a choice, they're going to say, well, there's not really that many great RPG titles for it. So is this really the system for me?
You've also got to really look at what genre of RPGs you're talking about. Because while Fable and Final Fantasy may be RPGs together, they are completely different games. There is nothing similar in any way, shape, or form about those two games. Yet they are in the same genre.
I'm a niner.
Any big game coming to the 360 is always good, no matter which way you look at it. Will I buy it? Probably not. Will I play it? Yes, I will. You know, so yeah, it's good, dude. Good all around. And it's selling systems right now in Japan like hotcakes, dude, which is a good thing.
They'll definitely have to put a demo out. If they do not put a demo out for Blue Dragon, they are shooting themselves, not in the foot, they're shooting themselves in the head for the U.S.
Does anyone know what type of online capabilities Blue Dragon has?
No.
I have no idea.
I have no attention to that game.
I don't think we'll see Blue Dragon here for a while, just because of the localization.
Yeah, that's
also,
right.
This is off topic as well, but we were just talking about the HD DVD thing, and of course, you've probably heard by now that Blue Dragon is coming on 3 DVDs.
Yep. Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that on the forums.
And do any of you guys care? Like, is,
no,
of
no,
course,
I don't.
DVD, nope, it's not going to cost us anymore. My only concern is that I'm going to lose it, but that's not going to happen because all my DVDs are perfectly organized.
Right.
So, and I don't think that the whole Sony argument for you need Blu-ray or HD DVD, it's the only next-gen format for a next-gen console. I don't care. You guys put Final Fantasy VII out on, what was it, 9 CDs?
And you heard what Sony's doing with the new Blu-ray discs. They can't. It's still, the games are still too small to fit on a Blu-ray disc, so they're putting a ton of blank space on the Blu-ray disc.
Yeah, garbage disc, data.
So that,
of course,
so
dude,
the,
yeah,
games fit at the edge.
Yeah, man. I mean, they'll never fit 50 gigs. I mean, look, Oblivion barely fit in a DVD 9. You know, like imagine. They're gonna, if they fit 50 gigs worth of gameplay in there, you know the price of that game is gonna be like $500. Like that's like another console right there. Secretly.
Rusty, do you have a rumor for us?
Right on. And this comes from my super secret source. But again, this is all just speculation. But what do you guys think about Resident Evil 5 becoming a 360 exclusive?
Nice. Ooh.
Love that,
nice,
man.
That, ooh.
We heard this a lot, dude, on the forums. Everyone's talking about it, about Capcom and Microsoft buying Capcom, supposedly,
exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
I've heard that one.
Yeah. I heard that a lot.
Well, look at Dead Rising and the success on that. Capcom's got to know that people are noticing their games and they're buying them on the 360.
And plus, you know, they can't sell anything on the PS3. What, they have like 200,000... you know, consoles out there, and they see where you know, PlayStation's heading, and they're heading into the ground, it seems, you know, like, head first.
The thing that I think is going to define how Microsoft does in this generation and into the next is their developer tools. Like, apparently I've heard from, you know, Major Nelson and different sources and that sort of thing, the developer support from Microsoft is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
How they help them to work with their hardware and that sort of thing is excellent. Whereas I've heard, of course, we've all heard for the PS3, the cell is apparently
nothing,
impossible.
I mean, Tony Hawk on the PS3 doesn't even have online. What the hell is that?
All right, let's move on to the next topic, gentlemen. This is becoming a Sony bashing session. I got one more question for everyone before we wrap up. It's about that time for virtual Santa Claus to come knocking on your chimney. So if you can have one video game gift under your Christmas tree, or Hanukkah tree, or Kwanzaa tree, or whatever tree, what
Ramadan
would it be this year? Starting with Nordstrom.
For me, I guess I would kind of want the HD DVD drive add-on for the 360. I've seen it on my friend's TV, and it looks really great. It's just as good as the Marketplace download, but, you know, it basically shows that I don't really want to spend the money in myself, but if I can get it for free as a gift, what the heck?
Rusty Ranchero?
Crap, I'm going to go with Viva Pinata, because I don't know what else is coming out this year.
And,
I think that's the only thing I'm about excited to get.
Right.
Xbox E-Boy.
Yeah, definitely, like Rusty Viva. And when we get it, Rusty, we'll have to send each other creatures in our little packages or whatever.
Oh, yeah, sounds like fun.
Killer Genome.
Well, you know, I like Viva Pinata and all, but I really like Call of Duty 3, and I don't have enough money to buy it since I bought Rainbow Six and Gears of War. I really, really want Call of Duty 3 very, very badly.
Good choice. My Mexican brother, Steve519er, what are you getting for Christmas, or what would you like?
A Wii.
What a good choice.
Gee,
Billberry.
Awesome.
This is one of those first Christmases where there's nothing really been standing out and, you know, grabbing you by the face saying, buy me. I'm looking at Rainbow Six Vegas. That's looking pretty hot. Maybe the Vision camera to go along with that. I'm not really sure. Probably the only thing that I'd really want is an HDTV, because right now I'm playing on my 19-inch CRT monitor that I have hooked up with VGA. So that's kind of
cool.
He's
gonna
bring,
Santa was going to bring Guijay a special Christmas gift. I think Guijay would love a guaranteed spot on the Halo 3 beta testing.
Nice.
Hey, that would be a great stocking stuffer if you could hook me up.
Guijay, I've heard they've got a great 720p 1080i game that's called Sack Full of Coal.
Have you seen Sack the full... real-time disappointment in the characters' faces?
It's Sack amazing. Full of what?
The real-time disappointment.
Sack Full of Coal?
Was that a joke? He doesn't remember.
That was my Steve 519 impersonation of a joke.
That was a funny joke, actually, okay? I laughed at it.
All right, everyone, time to move on. Let's do the yay or nay before we wrap it up with final thoughts. You know how it works. I'm going to shout out a game, and then you give it a yay or a nay in a quick sentence why you think it's a yay or nay. All right, then. First game, Assassin's Creed. We'll start with Pillsbury.
Yay. Big yay. I have no idea why. I don't know why I want this game, but I look at that, and it's medieval Splinter Cell. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Interesting. Killer Gnome.
Oh, big, big yay. Yeah, man, that looks so good. And, you know, I liked Hitman a lot. It was a really good game, and it just looks like a medieval Hitman, you know, just like on steroids and crack and all that stuff, dude.
Yeah, I'll take back my Splinter Cell. It is a little bit more of a Hitman game.
Yeah.
It just looks so good.
Noisy Tribe.
I'm going to have to go yay. I have to agree with everybody else. It does look like Hitman. I was actually, that's the one of the first things I actually thought about it, so definitely yay. I got to get that one. Glad it's not a PS3 exclusive anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's how many PS3 exclusives are coming to the 360?
All of them, man. Don't be surprised if you see, like,
Metal Gear.
It's
going to come, dude. Yeah.
Well, Metal Gear Solid 2 was on the Xbox. So
yeah.
it's
that's
not
why
like...
I think, that's why I think it'll come eventually.
Very cool. And finally, Xbox V-Boy for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, actually, I'm sure I'm going to get flamed, but I'm going to go, no, I'm just not a fan of the sneaking games like Hitman, Splinter Cell, etc. I like the running gun.
Kill him!
I'm crawling up into a fetal position. Don't beat me.
Not in the face. Not in the face.
Somebody teabagging me. No, stop.
Yeah, I have a game I want to know.
Okay.
Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball.
Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball. We'll start with Xbox E-Boy.
Yeah, I'm all for bouncing things. Yay.
Pillsbury.
Oh, big yay. Yeah. I can't remember who said this, but the next generation has arrived when you have individual boob physics.
Real-time boob switching.
Oh, yeah. That's where it's at.
Killer Gnome.
Oh, I gotta say nay. I have enough porn on my computer.
You're like 15, dude. What do you know at porn?
I'm 20.
I'm the 15
one.
And of course, I have none of such items anywhere in my possession. Windows Media Connect is definitely not used for pertaining of that to my wireless connection on my 360.
Basically, changing theme.
And finally, Noisy Drive.
I'm gonna go yay for a rental. I'm really interested in seeing those physics.
And that's all I can really say about it. I was trying to make a pun about it, but what can you say?
It would be neat. It would be interesting, though, to see if Tecmo licenses out that physics engine to, say, a game like Gears of War. What would Gears of War be like without the Unreal Engine, but instead using that engine? I can only see how the...
I don't want to see Mud Sonic going
moves.
Back and forth.
I can see the Berserker. It's just
you have a whole new meaning to...
Tom, your boobs are in the way!
You have a whole new meaning to taking cover. I got cover right here, so I'm jumping my bed.
And imagine in Halo 3, the man cannon.
Oh,
man, sorry. I
and now you have an image of Halo porn in your brain. Congratulations.
All right, gentlemen, that's all I got for yay or nay. Thanks for participating. Finally, we can move on to final thoughts. whatever's on your mind, share it, whatever we talked about, whatever we missed that you want to bring up, and don't forget to include your shout-outs, all your Xbox Live friends or people who might be listening. We'll start with Killer Gnome on this one.
All right.
Thanks for making it, buddy. What's on your mind, man?
I just, you know, the biggest thing right now is PS3 to me. You know, they're getting a lot of hate, but, I mean, it's not just because people want to hate on PS3, you know. I mean, they're leaving themselves open, you know. They're messing up. They're messing up a lot. And, I'm an Xbox fanboy, but I'm also a PlayStation fanboy. So, you know, I can't forget my memories with my PS1 and my PS2, you know. So, I want them to do good, you know. And hopefully, you know, they do something to stop all this hate, you know. So, yeah, that's about it. I'm just rooting for Sony. Yeah, shout-outs, whoever's listening, man. Everybody on Xbox Live. And thanks for having me, too.
Yes, indeed. My pleasure. And moving on to Noisy Tribe. Final thoughts, buddy. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say thanks for inviting me to the show today. Other thoughts, I really don't have much right now. I'm kind of with Killer Gnome there in regards to all the Sony hate right now. It's like I come off as an Xbox fanboy to most people. However, you know, I own almost everything Sony has for console lineup. And I just like to point out, you know, what's bad out there. And right now I think Sony's just have so much to improve on, which, you know, I look forward to in the future. As for shout-outs, just wanted to give a shout-out to everybody everybody I know on live, and also my friends on VideoGameBuddy.com, Blackassum, Mike VGB, Davey, Sam, Pedro, 2006, ADP, and Tara, and other than that, thanks again for having me on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for joining us. We'll move on to Xboxy Boy.
Great. Thanks again for inviting me. It's great to be back. Nice talking with all you guys at the roundtable. Shout out to MC Nexium, Sloopy Drew, and Free Spirit. And I'm just excited that we're going to break 10 million in the sales this year. We're going to keep going strong, and I'm a fanboy and proud to admit it and proud to bash on Sony.
Wow. Nice. Very cool. And finally, moving on to Pillsbury.
All right. As far as Sony goes, I will say, of course, I'm an Xbox 360 fanboy. I'm absolutely thoroughbred on that. I work at a feature shop, which, in case you guys don't know, is the Canadian version of Best Buy. And I've converted probably 8 people to the 360 and sold them one in that day. So Microsoft, you know, those console sales, look over here. Again, thanks for having me on the show, you guys. It's awesome. And as far as shout-outs go, to Xbox Canadian Live, they're a great group of jerks that will own you at Gears of War, and it's a great community. You know, of course, Xbox Live Radio is much better, but I mean, you know.
XBL Radio. Yes, indeed. Thank you for your kind words. And thanks for being on. All right, that should do it for us on the round table. We appreciate you guys joining us, taking the time out. We certainly do appreciate it.
Hey, you guys, thanks for being here tonight. Yeah, especially you two that showed up late, Killer Gnome and Pillsbury. Thanks for being here on time, you two.
No problem.
Hey, you know what? You got a problem? Contact my router. Contact D-Link. Take it up with them.
Contact my math teacher.
All right. So, but right just on. Seriously, though, thanks a lot for being here. Yes, you guys are awesome. Show here.
Thanks for having us.
We've been playing Pixel for a long time already tonight. So,
I'm just glad I got out of the negative.
I'm about to go all in.
Very cool. All right, then, everyone, say goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
Goodbye, peace. My friends.
I mean,
if you bye. Don't listen, I is execute. This is not a great tactic.
All right, everyone, welcome back to XBL Radio. Thank you for joining us on Live on Live with a very cool show with 4 very cool guests, Xbox E-Boy, Pillsbury 847, Killer Gnome 323, and Noisy Tribe. And you too can be on Live on Live. It's very easy. Just go to xblradio.com, sign up in the forums, and under the XBL Radio Show discussion, click on the little sticky post that says Live on Live. Post your gamer tag in there, and I'll get you on the waiting list, and one day you can be on our show. You, the gamer. You don't need to be a professional. You don't need to be an expert. You just need to like to play games and have opinions. And that's it. So moving on, we got the Rainbow Six interview to play for you. I know you've been waiting for that, and so I don't want to delay it anymore. We're just going to roll right into it. Guija joined me for it, so it was a lot of fun. Here we go.
You're just going to let her die? Give them what they want!
Hello everyone, this is XBL Radio. I am Rusty Ranchero, and I have the super cool Guija with me. How's it going, Guija?
I'm feeling wonderful. How are you doing, Rusty?
Very good. I'm excited, man, because we have a very special guest with us right now. His name is Max Deland. He is the creative director for Rainbow Six Vegas.
Woo!
Welcome to XBL Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm the creative director on Rainbow Six Vegas, which basically means that I'm in charge of all the content of the game, of the direction of the game, of the quality of the game. If you want, like, we have a producer that's in charge of the people, the time, the money aspect of creating the game, and I'm in charge of everything that's content in the game. So that's my job at Ubisoft.
Now, Max, now that you have the Xbox 360 version of Rainbow Six, how's the development on the PS3 version coming along?
It's moving along nicely. We're hopefully going to finish it very early next year. So it's going along nicely. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's a different beast than the Xbox, and we were working for a long time only on 360. So now the team has moved to the PS3. So we've got a lot of engineers working on that. So it's an interesting beast.
Great. One more thing that I wanted to ask you along those lines is, of course, you know, we can see that one of the Xbox 360's greatest strengths is Xbox Live. And that is also one of the greatest things that makes Rainbow Six Vegas what it is in the Rainbow Six series, is all of us getting together and playing online. Are these features also going to be implemented in the PS3 version?
Yeah, we're making a lot of efforts to support everything we can. Sony offers a good platform. Obviously, they don't have like the experience, I say, that Microsoft has. You know, we've seen Microsoft having Xbox Live for a couple of years now, so obviously the platform is a little bit more mature on that side. But we're really focusing on trying to offer the same great experience online on the PS3.
All right. Well, along the lines of you guys playing some new games, a lot of people have been talking about some of the similarities to another Xbox title that just came out, Gears of War. Have you guys had a chance to play that or take a look at it yet? And what do you think about people saying there's some similarities between the kind of that the cover aspect of Gears of War and Rainbow Six?
Yeah. I finished Gears of War. I thought it was a great game. I think taking cover, although it was done in Killswitch before, it wasn't really like hitting its full potential. They've approached it in one way. We've approached it in a totally different way, I think. You know, I think now it becomes more of a personal taste. Do you like red wine or white wine? Do you right. like our takeover or their takeover?
right.
Awesome. I really like the cover feature. I think it works well. And speaking of that, I mean, what games did you look for inspiration to making Vegas? I mean, I've heard one guy say that Rainbow Six Vegas is a mashup of Splinter Cell and Ghost Recon.
Yeah, and, well, actually, if you go back down history, whatever big history Tom Clancy games have, the first original Tom Clancy game was Rainbow Six, right? And,
yes.
and Rainbow is in the middle. You know, we're not super, super up close and personal like Splinter, but we're not super far sniping most of the time like Ghost Recon, so we're a bit in the middle. Are we a mashup of that? I think we were originally, you know, all of that, and now everybody's specializing. We're staying really, really focused on our values, you know, the realism, the tension, the close quarter tactics. So we're really focusing on that. So obviously, you know, there's all being Tom Clancy games that are realistic, you're going to see some similarities, but I think Rainbow has its own very defined style.
Yes, indeed. I want to move on to a little bit of Rainbow Six, maybe the story mode.
Do you mind, Max, if because we got a couple of our users on our website that want to ask you some questions. Do you mind if we read some of those for you?
Of course, sure, no problem.
The first email we got for you, Max, comes from Sphinx50, and he says, how did you guys come up with the dialogue that the enemies yell out when you shoot? He says, it's awesome.
Well, first of all, for the first time on a Rainbow Six game, we had a writer that was dedicated to the project since almost day one. And that was new for us. It was a new way of working. Usually the writer is more of a contractor that is not really part of the team, that just, if you want, you know, we tell him what we need and he just gives us back and that's it's over. So now we had a writer on the team, so it was a lot more of a collaborative effort. We knew the game was going to be mature. We knew we wanted our terrorists to sound realistic, to sound badass. So we really pushed that. I know a lot of people are saying, oh my God, I've never heard the F word so much in a video game. Well, you know what? Terrorists that are like, you know, they have guns, you're coming after them, it's probably one of the words they're going to use the most.
Right.
So we are a realistic game, we are a mature game, and then I think, you know, the dialogue really reflects that. We weren't afraid to push the way the dialogue was written with that in mind. I think it's little things like that really add to the immersion.
I totally agree. Our next question comes from Mick, and he's real interested to know if you guys actually considered using real Las Vegas casinos for the setting of the game, and if that ever came up, how quickly did it get shot down?
Well, it actually came up pretty early, and we tried. I know our lawyers contacted some casinos. The thing is, obviously, most casinos don't have much to win with having a game that has terrorists inside them. You know, and we, even if we would have offered to pay some money, I think with the amount of money that these casinos make, like what we could have offered would have been nothing.
So let me ask you this, Max. When you guys went down to Vegas to do your research, how much of it was actual research and how much of it was actual vacation time?
I went to Vegas by myself. I was with my wife when I went, and it was half research, half vacation.
Okay.
But then we sent a team of artists there, armed with a lot of cameras, the video cameras and digital cameras, obviously. They took an insane amount of pictures, but I know they took an insane amount of alcohol also.
All right. Well, speaking of artists, this is something that I have to ask you, and I know a lot of our XBL radio listeners are dying for me to ask you this question. Which member of the development team was the first person to map their butt to a multiplayer face?
I don't know if anybody did it. We talked about it all the time, and we just, I just don't think anybody did it in the team. I would have seen, I would have known. I know the first thing that someone tried was just smiling like crazy on the picture. And that like came out pretty cool, and that's something that I know a lot of people have started doing. It's just, you know, seeing a guy like with a straight face shooting a gun is okay, but when you turn a corner and you see these huge teeth smiling at you, it just adds this layer of insanity that's pretty cool.
Nice.
That's fun. Moving right along, Arcadian would like to know, where is the M16?
Yeah. Hey, Colt, our friends at Colt. Yeah, the M4. I wanted the M4 real bad. There's some legal stuff that prevents us from having those weapons.
Really? Is it
really? I'm not even sure I'm allowed to say what I just said.
It's
very complicated. I would have loved to have the M4. You know, like it's the gun we see everywhere. You know, obviously the M16 is a great gun also, but I think right now, like, the U.S. Army is using the M4 like crazy. It's a great gun that gets modded a lot also. It looks good. It shoots good. It's not there. We would have liked to have it, and we just couldn't.
Right. Gotcha.
Now, I know you said that you're the creative director. We get asked questions all the time regarding, gamers that are interested in just getting into the gaming industry. What would you say, what advice would you give someone looking to become active in the gaming industry?
My first advice, stay in school. If you can become an engineer, become a programmer, that way you're making sure that your future is guaranteed either in the game industry or elsewhere. That would be my number one suggestion. Make sure that yes, you become a great person to work in the game industry, but if after 10 years in the game industry you want to move on to something else, make sure that your studies allow you to be compatible with other industries.
Right.
If you want. I was a game designer before. I started at Ubisoft as a tester. I am very, very highly specialized in games. I could probably go work in other industries, but I'm highly specialized in games. So that's very interesting, but at the same time, it's kind of a risk, right? It's like your investments, you don't necessarily want to put all your money in the same stocks. So my biggest suggestion is stay in school as long as possible, get a nice degree in something that's going to be useful in the game industry, but also in other industries.
Cool. Well said.
Well, there's another game that has been announced by Ubisoft Montreal that I'm looking for, and I can't seem to find. It just seems to be lost, and that is the upcoming game based on the TV franchise Lost. Is there any information you can give us on this game?
I can tell you people are working on it, but that's all.
Ah, come on, Max! You're killing me here, amigo.
I can't even give you information about my downloadable package. How can I talk to you about a different game?
Oh, man, you can't bust my chops for trying.
You have to try, I agree.
Right, where would my integrity be if I didn't? So what do you say, Rusty?
I don't know. I don't really have any more questions to waste his vacation time.
Right. Let him get back to his wife. Drink some champagne.
Yes, oh, we just had a little baby boy. My wife is taking care of the baby right now.
Congratulations.
All alone. Thank you.
Wow.
Well, Max, we want to congratulate you and the Ubisoft development team on a wonderful game. From what we've seen online and across the board, it's getting tremendous reviews. And we thank you very much for your time.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for taking your vacation time out to join us here at XBO Radio. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, everyone, that was Max Deland, the creative director over at Ubisoft Montreal for Rainbow Six Vegas. Hey, thanks, Guijay, for joining me on that.
You know what, Rusty? That was an awesome interview. I mean, it was just great, but I wish it was a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah? Well, actually, as a matter of fact, it was longer. What you just heard was about only 12 minutes of a 35-minute interview.
Are you telling me there's 35 minutes of it out there? Where can I get this?
Well, let me tell you. It's very easy. It's on our XBL Extras feed. Some of you may or may not know, we've had it for several months now. It's called the XBL Extras feed. You can find it easily on our website at xblradio.com, on the right column of the blogcast, or just click on the homepage, and you'll find a cool link to that. And another easy way to find it, if you like iTunes, and I know many of you do, just go in the podcast section and type XBL Extra, and it should pop up, and so just subscribe to it. It's pretty cool. So to give you more information about that interview, we got Max's general take on the Xbox Live Marketplace. We asked him about future download content for Vegas. There was a lot of extended answers to some of the questions that you've already heard us ask him. And we got to get to know him a little more personally. We found out what consoles he owned and what games he's been playing. And plus, a lot more listener questions answered. As you know, Steve, I sent out a mass message to all my friends list saying, hey, if you got a question for the Rainbow Six developer, send it my way. And we even did a post on the forums too. So questions from Smookaface, Evil Roster, Rory the Weasel, Smoke You Fools, Thizinator, and a couple more of you. Your questions got answered by Max DeLon. So check that out on the XBL Extras feed, available at xblradio.com or on iTunes. Just search XBL Extras. Okay, everyone, and you know what? It's about that time of the year to get excited because it's that time to get presents. Aren't you excited to get presents, Steve?
I'm so excited. I'm getting a Wii.
Oh, that's cool. Your wife's going to buy it?
We're buying it for each other.
That'll be fun. I want to get one, too. It sounds like something you guys can really have a lot of fun with. But anyways, here we are talking about getting presents. But, you know, it's also that time of the year when you should give presents. You know that saying, it is far better to give than to receive. And so to talk a little bit more about that, Steve, you have a special guest with us.
Yes, I do. Now, I met him off of MySpace. He actually contacted me off of MySpace about this thing that he's doing. So let me introduce him. He goes by LOA Soups. He's from the Legion of Apocalypse, you know, an Xbox or a gaming clan. So, Brian, how you doing today, dude?
I'm doing good, doing good. How about you guys?
We're doing pretty good as Wonderful. Far as, yeah. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit, you know, kind of what you told me earlier, what you guys are doing.
Well, LOA came across this charity called Child's Play. It's run by Penny Arcade. And basically what they do is they raise money and whatnot for children's hospitals around the world. They then take the money and buy games and gaming consoles for children's hospitals so the kids can play them while they're stuck in bed and whatnot.
Okay. Now what are you guys doing?
We are running three tournaments over 3 days with three games, including Halo 2, Gears of War, and Rainbow Six Vegas.
And where are these tournaments at?
They're going to be held on Xbox Live through there.
Oh, so anyone actually in the U.S. can, or anyone in the world can actually
anybody with a Valve gamer tag.
Wow, so where do you go to get more info about this?
Well, you can either go to our actual clan site, xloax.com, or you can visit our sponsor's website, xgapro.com.
So, okay, a listener goes there, checks it out. What happens after that?
We have special sign-up pages where it's $10 per person or $40 per team, and you just sign up and go. You show up and pay the money and you play.
All right, so you're paying the money to play here. Now, I'm guessing that they're taking some of the money out and donating that. What happens to the rest of it?
We're planning on taking 100% of the profits and donating it to the charity. We're currently working with some other places to get some prizes going for the people that are participating in this.
So there are prizes for those that win?
We're hoping to get some going. We really like to donate all the money to the charity, but if nothing else, we'll have to, you know, kind of break into that a little bit.
And when's it going on?
It starts the 15th with Halo 2, and that's going to be a 4v4 MLG thing. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the MLG rules or not. And then the next day, it's Saturday, we have Gears of War, and that's a 4v4 Warzone type of game. And then Sunday, the 17th, is when we're running Rainbow Six Vegas.
So you're pretty much running, I'd say, the three best first-person shooters out there right now.
We chose the three best games on Xbox to try and get people to come out and help us out here.
Awesome stuff. Russ, do you have any questions on this?
So that's cool. So people can donate. Are you going to take PayPal or credit cards?
I believe we're set up for PayPal and credit cards.
That sounds nice, man. So they just register on the site. They can play in these tournaments. Are there any certain teams that they have to join, or are they going to talk in the forums and try to form teams with other people there? Or are you guys going to make the teams for them just randomly?
Well, I believe the people that sign up one-on-one, they can either form their own team or we will put them in a team if they'd like. So it's up to them. You know, they can say they want to be on a team. We can try and place them with other people that just signed up as a single person.
And so I'm really curious about what motivated you guys to do this. I mean, to take time out of your schedule. I mean, it sounds like you're not going to keep any of this money. And I'm just curious what made you guys want to do that.
Well, it's a holiday season, so you get that in that giving spirit. And we came across this charity where, you know, gamers give back. So it's really gamers helping out little gamers that are stuck in bed and they really have nothing to do. We just wanted to give back a little bit to our gaming community.
So what's the site again? Just for all the listeners to go?
Our actual website for the clan, you can find information on there, is xloax.com. or you can go to our sponsor's website, xgapro.com.
All right, so you heard it here, gamers. Go to xloax.com. They can go there. They can sign up for this tournament, pay the entry fee, and actually at the same time, while they pay, they're not just paying an entry fee, but they're actually donating money for a good cause to help gamers that aren't as fortunate as they are. That sounds correct. Like a pretty cool tournament to me.
I certainly agree, man. That's a great gesture that you guys are doing there. During these holiday times, it's great that there are people more concerned about giving than receiving.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Brian. Take it easy, dude.
All right. Thanks again, Brian. We appreciate you joining us and giving us that info. Let's see. Moving right along. What else we got here before we end the show?
You know, since we gave Brian a shout-out for that interview, we just said, let's give another final shout-out to all of our guests. I mean, it was a great show. You know, Xbox E-Boy, Pillsbury, 847, Killer Gnome, 323, and Nosy Tribe. They were great, dude. And we had Guija right there. And, you know, they actually kind of took over towards the end of the show. Don't you think so?
You're right. Pretty much the whole show, man. It was like you and I kind of sat back most of it.
Well, I mean, they were vocal and they were yeah. They just wanted to talk, and which is an awesome. This is the whole reason we do Live on Live.
I agree. This was one of our better shows. The guests, all of them, were really talkative. You know, sometimes we might have that guest or two that's kind of quiet, but all four of these guys really had something to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. So thanks all you guys, and thanks Guijay for joining us on the roundtable yet again.
The Gamers Roundtable.
All right, then. And everybody, don't forget to head over to our website. I wonder how many of you don't know that we actually have one. I'm curious.
I would say quite a bit, considering our podcast numbers and our website numbers.
Yeah, good point. And so, if you don't know for some reason, we do have a website. So feel free to check it out, xboradio.com. Interact with us daily. Post comments on our blog or stories or articles that you find interesting. Or you can even take it up a notch by joining our forums. We certainly love to hear from you. Our forums are very active now. We have a couple hundred registered users. It's a lot of fun, a lot of great conversations over there. Again, we'd love to have you. So come join us.
And, you know, speaking of our website, Rusty, you know, another thing a lot of people probably don't know is that we actually just started a daily video show on our website where we post daily videos of what's going on in, you know, the Xbox community. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. I've been watching them. They're all very cool. Yes, indeed. You've done most of them. I think Carpal did one of them.
Carpal's done one so far. It's a really good one, too. I actually enjoyed his a lot. I'm kind of, you know, kind of jealous.
You thought his was better than yours?
I really did, but I critiqued myself way too much. So,
So that's cool, man. So it's called the XBL Radio Daily Video Minutes.
Yes, the XBL Radio Daily Video Minutes is done every day. And what's cool about it is I hit the important news, the pertinent news to us as 360 gamers out there, but I do it all in about less than 5 minutes every day. So really quick, you can hit it up. You can even download it now off of iTunes, or you can download it for your Zune or anything you want. It works on everything.
It looks like fun, man. I mean, I remember I used to do those videos a while back, but those were like weekly.
It's time consuming.
I applaud you for doing a daily one. That's amazing. So far you haven't missed one.
No, so far I haven't missed one. And you know, our new show, today's show, is going to be coming out Tuesday. So, speaking of Tuesday, do you know what happened yesterday?
Well, I know a week ago yesterday was the Halo 3 trailer.
No, as of yesterday, I went to the XNA open house. And you guys can expect a lot of video of it, or some video of it, on our website. So that's another reason to check out our website, because I'm going to have some video from the XNA open house that went on up in Microsoft land.
Nice. Can't wait to see that. XNA. So it's basically like an update of what all the developers have been making?
Yeah, and
see their progress.
We're going to see some of their progress, plus we're going to see some tools for people that might want to make games in the future. So it's a way to educate people that, you know, might have the capability to do it, but just think it might be too hard to do it. You know, we're going to see all sorts of tools and demonstrations and everything else.
That sounds cool as hell. Can't wait to see all that video. All right, then. Everyone, thank you for joining us. This has been a presentation of the XBL Radio Podcast. This is version 32.5. Don't forget to tune back in next Tuesday for 33.0 with Mr. Carpal Tunnel and the other guy, and possibly a surprise kids pick. Hopefully, if everything goes as planned, there might be a surprise kids pick in there.
And
not Carpal's kids.
And an interview with the number one person on the leaderboard for gamer points. Don't forget that. Strip Club DJ is going to be on the show.
Right. So tune into that. You got to hear what he has to say about his gamer score. I know many of you might be interested in that. You can hear it from him himself, his own voice. Should be an interesting interview. So stay tuned for that. 33.0. All right, then. I am Rusty Ranchero.
And with him is myself, Steve519.
And this is XBL Radio. Your game.
Your voice.
Your radio. We'll catch you guys later. See ya.
Peace out, everybody.
Hey, I love your show, and I'm saying, everybody that's listening, go buy Viva Pinata. It is a wicked game.
Hello, XBL Radio and Rainbow Six Devs, and I'm Rusty Ventrio. Now that your game is out, what are you guys playing on the 360? And you cannot answer Gears and Viva. What do you guys play on the 360?
This is a very important message. Don't delete it, read the text. This is about Halo 3 Beta. I only send myself a certain amount of friends. Keep this on the low. I'm not going to tell you everything. You're on your own. Halo 3 beta will be open on December 4th at certain times, and then certain times between that and spring.
Rusty, two things. Do you want to play some co-op Gears of War? And also, I have a free Uno game. I have a code if you want to give it away on the show.
Hey, man, good show on the point five. Kind of want to get a Wii now because of all the neat little features like the Mii and whatever else are in.
Hey, Rusty, long time no talk, but I got Gears and it's been fucking badass so far, so whenever you're on, send me an invite.
And now for something completely different.
What's going on, Max?
Hey.
How you doing? Good, good. Nice and cold up there?
Oh, yeah. We just had our real first snowfall yesterday.
Congratulations.
Snow.
White.
What's snow?
He doesn't know.
Oh,
see.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm up in the East Coast, so we had a little bit of snow here today, too.
Yeah, okay, okay.
I'm down in Texas, so I have no idea what snow is.
Well, open your freezer. You might find some in there.
No.
Next, from Los Angeles, California, he is 20 years old.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
Did you say yay, yay?
Yeah, hell, what are you representing,
right.
Dude?
Right, I'm sorry. He is 20 years old.
Rusty, who am I introducing, dude?
You didn't write nothing down, so nobody.
Rusty?
Start it, dude.
I'll introduce every guest. Weejay, you do the one-on-one questions.
What does that leave me to do?
And Steve can interject if Weejay's too quiet.
Son of a bitch, dude. I've already been demoted. Weejay's now official co-host. I'm being demoted for interjecting.
No, dude. No. We'll go back and forth, Steve.
No.
You go with the first question.
Hey, you know what? You do it all, dude. I quit.
Dude, I like 519er. Come on, 519er.
I'm going to bed, Gwydget.
Just before we start, I wanted to mention one thing.
Have any of you guys have any of you guys been through more than one 360?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Did you know that you can get all the Microsoft points that you spent on your first or second console refunded to you to spend on whatever the hell you want?
No.
Yeah, I called Microsoft. I spent $54 worth of Microsoft points on my original Xbox. I decided to call them one night and ask them about that. I'm getting $52 or $53 worth of Microsoft points.
And
wow.
Dude, oh, we dude. Are so
I gotta make a
that.
Phone call.
We are
didn't
so...
They
yeah.
just, but they just tell you to re-download
to
it.
We add did. That to the topic.
I don't think we should.
Now, does that...
It's gonna
does that mean if
it.
You buy... Does that mean if you buy a new console if you had to get it repaired?
No, if you get a new... Because think
if
about
you get
it,
a new
if
one.
You get a new console, this month
you,
and I had to exchange it, that would be the same thing.
Yeah, like in Canada, they don't repair ours, they just give us a brand new, spanking new one. So,
okay.
So we can still use the stuff that if we're on our same profile,
on the same
which
profile,
most people only
exactly.
use the same profile. But then you right. can, you know, their basic thing is that they say, oh yeah, we know that you want to use it on all your profiles, which
yeah.
I don't.
I.e.
So
my wife's profile or something, yeah.
Well, are you going to use the horse armor pack for Oblivion on more than one profile?
On
no,
wife,
I don't think...
On my wife's profile, she plays Oblivion.
Okay, well, you just ruined my entire argument, but whatever.
Okay, forget it.
All right, listen, I got a long day at work tomorrow, so let's get this rolling.
So, Steve, I guess you go first.
I'm going first? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You fired me, dude.
Oh, okay.
I just have a piece of paper with topics in front of me. That's it.
You're supposed to ask them what they've been playing and all that stuff.
I thought I was just the interjector.
You were going to alternate. You want Guija to go first?
No,
Guija, go ahead.
No, okay. We're going to move on. Before we move the topics, let me run to the living room and make sure the computer's still recording. I'll be right back.
Oh, if it, I'll kick your ass for us.
It's going to be Rusty Ranchero recording live on live with Rusty Ranchero.
With live on live.
Live on myself.
On the topic of graphics, if there are games, and from now on, games do not look any better than Gears of War, I would not have any problem with it at all.
Yeah. Wait, what did you say?
I had a hard time understanding that.
Like, yeah, I agree with you. What did you say?
Yeah. If you trust that deep that you don't even have to listen to my opinion to agree with it.
I was trying to listen. Like, I think I understood what you're saying. You're saying that, like, if it doesn't look like Gears of War, then you'll still buy it?
No,
even
if,
though it
if,
doesn't look,
if
it doesn't
no,
look
if,
better in Gears
if,
of War.
If every game from now on does not look, if every game from now on looks like the same graphical quality as Gears of War, I don't care if it gets any better. That's where it's at. I mean, it is.
Oh, okay, maybe, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
yeah,
you don't
Gears
think there's any need for improvement from here on, then? Is that what you're saying?
No, of course, there's going to be improvement from now on, but. Gears of War's graphics and that sort of thing.
Unbelievable.
They're so good at
they are
unbelievable. And if games get any better looking than that, I will be following a lawsuit. Actually I won't be able to because my head will explode.
What is this?
I won't be able to file a lawsuit because my head will explode at that point.
Yeah.
Alright, Steve, you want to give the closing comments for our guests?
Hey, we're
gonna
do yay or nay. Let's do a quick one.
Yeah, yay or nay. I like that. Ever since I've been listening to XBL Radio, I always want to do yay or nay.
I forgot to say one thing. If any of you, you know, can pry yourselves from buying some awesome game this winter, buy the Halo books. I'm dead serious. If you play the Halo games and you like the storyline at all, which with some likelihood you probably do, buy the books. I mean, they're excellently written. They're, you know, I think $10 Canadian with tax, you know, 5 cents American.
How did the books fit in the 360 though?
How am I going to watch it?
It's an attachment.
I put it in and it wouldn't read. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a dud on the first one.
Anything else for the interjector?
Interjector. You can inject wherever you want, my friend.
I'm going to stick out my finger at your belly. Hold on to it.
Hoo-hoo.
Game over.
Let's see,